540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. A week into a limited walkout at three major car assembly plants, United Auto Workers are now expected to expand their big three strike targets later this morning. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
This week was a shot across the bow, says Sam Fiorani of Auto Forecast Solutions. Most of the 20,000 vehicles lost from production can be made up.
Bronco buyers are going to wait for the Broncos. Wrangler buyers, they actually have a lot on dealer lots.
The real pain would come if the strike expands to big pickup plants, car makers' cash cows.
About 45 miles northwest of New York City,
a bus chartered by the Farmingdale High School band landed in a ravine after rolling down an embankment 2 hours northwest of New York City.
But imagine the fear, the screams, and the aftermath when these high school students, many of them freshmen, we're surrounded by this chaos.
Some students told us earlier that this is so devastating, it's something they never expected could have happened.
Ali Bauman of CBS New York with Governor Kathy Hochul. Two adults died in that bus accident, and there are serious injuries among the students. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is now in Canada after a quick but important trip to Washington without the kind of big Capitol Hill welcome that he received just 9 months ago.
Zelensky instead met behind closed doors with leaders of the House and the full Senate. That's because while a majority of Americans continue to support providing assistance, there's a mostly Republican divide on Capitol Hill over how to keep funding the war.
We need to give them everything they need.
We should be for a peace resolution, ending the war. They're not funding it.
There are growing concerns in the U.S. and Europe about how the aid is being used.
Correspondent Ed O'Keefe. With migrant apprehensions near record levels now along the Mexican border, the Biden administration is sending some 800 active duty troops there. CBS News correspondent Manuel Bojorquez.
Many people have said, look, why don't they claim asylum in Mexico first? But they say there's extortion there, that there's kidnappings there. They do not feel safe. And that's why they're continuing to make their way up here.
There's a tropical storm warning now from the North Carolina coast up to Delaware as a potential tropical cyclone approaches the East Coast.
The storm surge threat, as much as 3 to 5 feet of storm surge, that's going to be in areas near the Outer Banks, perhaps into some of the sounds and bays nearby there.
The city of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and its police department are now dealing with lawsuits and allegations about an alleged torture warehouse known as the Brave Cave, supposedly used by some police officers. Its operations have now been ordered stopped. One Baton Rouge police officer has resigned. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Now, here's your host, Kristen Bry.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. At least for the next 2 days, I am your host. Until we hand it over to Jane Metnair, but she's here too today. And then Greg Bach is on the board. And it's 11 o'clock on a Thursday, and so it's time for public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lierley. And we also are going to play, where in the world is Dr. Kristen Lierley? Because where are you today? Looks like I think I recognize the backdrop that you got there.
It's the number one tourist attraction in Wisconsin, Lambeau Field.
It's not the Cave of the Mounds?
Close. No, there's a wonderful event going on across the street right now at the Rush Center, which is this brand new, beautiful, big community center. The Power of the Purse, the Women's Fund here in Green Bay, has Erin Brockovich here to talk with a bunch of community leaders. Yes!
Wow!
So they're all eating lunch right now, and I stepped out to talk to you guys.
Oh, well, we always appreciate that you make time for us. But Erin Brockovich, what is she just like a paid speaker now? What is she doing these days?
That's what I think. All I know, but I'm gonna find out more.
You'll find out. You'll report back on what she's talking about. But that sounds awesome. That's very fun. Well, we're happy to see you in Wisconsin. But I think we'll start. Well, no. So first, let's say anyone who has any questions, if you want to text it in, you want to call it in, questions for the doctor, 844-967-2789.
And it's not just about women's health.
Not just about women's health. We can talk COVID, we can talk prostates, we can talk.
Oh, we'll do a whole
And if I don't know the answer, I will find it for you. So if I can't answer you today, we will figure it out.
We will figure it out. But I was I'm gonna open it up just general. Do you have, as I am 6 days away as an OBGYN and chief morale officer, as you've titled yourself, what advice do you have in my last, like, what in the next 6 days could I do to make my delivery easier?
Isn't that the question?
Yoga? Perennial massages? Feels...
That's a thing. Perennial massage is a thing. Although the data shows that it really doesn't make a difference. For a while, we really talked a lot about doing these perennial massages with the idea that maybe it would stretch the opening of the introitus of your bottom so that you would have less of a risk of tearing during childbirth. The data really hasn't shown that makes a difference. I mean, you know, if it feels good, sure, but otherwise
it's not,
you know, I don't think it's
a little bit of an old wives' tale at this point.
Yeah. I would say just be yourself, you know, take care of yourself, enjoy your last few days as a couple, the two of you, you know, make sure that you're not feeling stressed out, that your questions are answered. And then if anything doesn't seem right, make sure that you are talking with your doctor and addressing whatever your concern is, because sometimes funny little things can pop up You might get a headache that doesn't go away. You might be feeling short of breath. You might not be feeling your baby move the way that your baby typically moves. If those things happen, you've got to call because, you know, complications do happen late in pregnancy. And it's really, really important that you stay on top of it.
All right. So, but, no direct, like, there's, like, this kind of yoga you should be doing or, like, I was going to say the other, so we've talked about this once before, but the things I could be doing as far as trying to induce natural labor was, like, nipple stimulation, spicy foods, acupuncture. Is there anything of those kind of old wives' tale that I should not do? Or is it all kind of like, well, you might as well try. No, guarantee it's going to work, but.
I mean, if you're ready to go, nipple stimulation actually does make a difference. So if you have a breast pump or if you want to manually stimulate your nipples, that sounded a little too personal, sorry. But that has been shown to work because it makes your body release oxytocin. And oxytocin is the hormone that makes your uterus contract. So nipple stimulation can help you maybe potentially go into labor and it can help you progress your labor as well.
Is that one of the only ones that actually... it has been proven to work?
Yeah. You know, sex too. I mean, there are prostaglandins in semen. So there is some evidence that having sex can help to stimulate and soften your cervix.
Okay.
Going for a walk, being active, that may help as well. But a lot of those things like castor oil and that kind of stuff, those are old wives' tales. I mean, they work for some people. They don't work for other people. But if you decide to do something like a castor oil, you have to think like, what are the possible downsides?
Because castor oil is a laxative.
Yes. A major one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm feeling pretty prepared, I think. I don't know. Everything I don't know to expect, I can't prepare for. So we're going in with I'm just gonna listen to the nurses. Like everyone on the labor and delivery floor, I'm just gonna be like, you tell me what to do, because this is your job.
Yes. Yes, exactly that. The more you can go into it with an open mind. If people, I think, tend to go into their labor and delivery experience feeling like this is natural, everything's going to be fine, but you don't really have control over what happens. Yeah. So you might have a blood pressure issue. You might have a bleeding issue, whatever it is, just go with the flow, listen to your team, ask lots of questions. If you feel like you don't know what's going on, if something doesn't seem quite right, ask lots of questions because we want to make sure that you are as physically and mentally equipped for this giant, amazing, wonderful, life-changing event that you are looking at. I'm so excited for you.
Days away from. All right. Well, I would say that does it for me. If you have any questions for the doctor, again, 844-967-2789. One thing I wanted to squeeze in before we end this, before we have to go to commercial break, is COVID. COVID tests are coming back as of this morning. The covidtest.gov. If you go there, you can now get free tests from the government for a potential spike. But also one thing we haven't talked about yet is the new COVID shot. So what should people know about the new COVID shot, Dr. Lyley?
I'm just going to make it really simple. Think about it like a flu shot.
Okay.
That's it. It's not a booster. It is a regular shot. So just get your COVID shot. It's going to be most likely an annual shot. Go in, it's there, it's ready. We're seeing a rise in COVID right now. So this is a great time to go in and get your COVID shot. If you're somebody who has a hard time making it to the office on a regular basis to get your flu shot a little bit later, you can get both of them at the same time.
Would you recommend getting both in the same arm or one in one arm and one in the other arm? Is there a difference? Do you have the option?
You do have the option. I like getting them in different arms because then if you have a reaction to one, you'll know what that vaccine was, which vaccine gave you that reaction.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Kristen, I always get them in the same arm because I figure if it's going to hurt, then at least just one arm will hurt. But being able to tell which is giving you a reaction is a really good point.
And you might think that because you've never had a reaction before, you won't have a reaction. But I can tell you, I got a flu shot one time and I get my flu shots every year because I am a doctor and it's my obligation to make sure that I'm healthy so I can take care of my sick patients. I got a flu shot one time and my arm hurt for, I'm not kidding, like a month.
Really?
And I knew it was the flu shot. I don't know if it just like got in the wrong place. Like my nurse did a great job with it. Something was not right about it. I did get a flu shot the next year and it wasn't a problem, but that flu shot, for whatever reason, really gave me a hard time that year.
Here's a question. Should I, as in the 6 days that I am still pregnant, should I get a flu shot and a COVID shot before the baby gets here, or does it not matter?
As far as
passing it on to the baby.
Yeah, because the baby won't get those shots.
Yeah.
So if you want to be able to provide any sort of passive immunity to the baby, getting your shots now, they won't get a full immune response, but they'll get more than they would if you didn't.
Okay.
And they won't be able to be vaccinated when they're young anyway. So I don't think it's a bad idea.
All right. Maybe add that to the to-do list of last minute things to do this weekend.
And you may have heard too of the RSV shot that pregnant women are going to be eligible for. It's been out in the news. It's not available yet. They haven't yet made recommendations for that. So we're hoping probably next RSV season, we'll be giving it routinely to pregnant women to prevent RSV in their newborns. And RSV in a newborn is horrible. If you've ever had a kid who has a respiratory issue when they're super young, it is absolutely miserable. So that's one that I think parents are really looking forward to.
And speaking of RSV, because we think about this time a year ago, maybe a little bit later in the year in 2022, you know, it was the triple pandemic, right? It was COVID numbers were spiking, flu numbers were spiking, RSV numbers were spiking. And you said we are seeing an uptick in COVID. Is there a chance that we're seeing the trends that triple pandemic could happen again this fall into the winter?
Yeah, they are actually anticipating that it will.
Great.
Yeah. But for people over 65, RSV is a problem for people who are really young and really old. And I shouldn't say really old. 65 seems younger all the time to me.
Thank you.
But people over 65 now have the option of getting an RSV vaccine. That one is out there and you can get that one. So please, if you are 65 or older, do get all three of those vaccines, because we know that these respiratory diseases tend to be worse for people older than 65.
Got it. Okay. Well, we still have another segment.
We have a texter question that we'll take on the other side of the break.
Oh, you want to preview it? That we'll start, preview the question, and so she gives the doctor the break to actually think about what her answer is going to be.
Well, I kind of wanted to tease it.
Well,
it's about Dr. Lively. What do you do with a doctor who refuses to schedule a particular type of appointment?
Oh, don't I have a good answer.
All right, don't answer it yet, because we're going to talk about that. If you have a question for the doctor, we'll get to your question as well. 844-967-2789. And if we don't get any more questions than that one, I also want to talk about, there's a new study that talks about the link between eating a lot of processed food and depression. Maybe it doesn't surprise anyone, but now there's science behind it. So just a reminder, you know, maybe put down the Mertz's cheese as good as it is. And so we'll talk about that on the other side of the break as well. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here for a public cervix announcement. We would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back in a minute. Coming colors in the air. Oh, everywhere. She comes in color. She's like a rainbow, coming colors in the air. Oh, everywhere she comes in color.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy overnight with a low of 59. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Highs level off around 78. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Lows level off around 60. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm Saturday with daytime highs approaching 76. 70 Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinair. Greg Bach is on the board, and this is Public Cervix Announcement, our Thursday segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, where we talk about health issues. Sometimes it's, you know, it's women's health because Jane and I are women.
We are women.
But it doesn't always talk about just women's health, and this segment will continue.
Yes.
Regardless of me being gone, there'll be lots of things to continue to talk about. But let's get to our text. On the text line, we had a question about setting an appointment. So if you would read that again, Jane.
And you can always send your comments, send your text to 844-967-2789. Dr. Lyerly, how would you respond to a doctor who refuses to schedule or refer a patient with a uterus for tube tying or more permanent birth control?
Oh, this is a justice issue. So this actually happens a fair amount. There, for some crazy reason, there are some doctors out there who feel that you have to meet certain criteria in order for them to feel comfortable performing your sterilization procedure, as if you were not an autonomous person who lived a life and had decision-making capabilities over your own body. So especially in this situation, I would say it is time to find another doctor. If you are over 21, and I say 21 because there are federal requirements, so over 21, and your doctor is not listening to you and not, you know, having this conversation. And I'll tell you, I sometimes struggle with sterilization for young people because there is a significant risk of regret in the future. You have a lot of life to live when you're 21 years old. So that is a detailed conversation that you want to make sure you are having in a respectful, evidence-based, you-focused manner. If your doctor isn't doing that for you, then you got to find another doctor. If you're looking for another doctor, send a message to the text line and I will personally help you find one.
Oh, that's a great offer.
Yes, it is.
Listen,
my colleagues are completely, my tribe, we are dedicated to making sure that women have the right to make their own decisions about their own bodies, whether it's about a pregnancy or preventing a pregnancy. We all, every single one of us, men and women and children and every one of us, we all need to have providers, physicians, nurse practitioners, PAs who hear us, mm-hmm. who are responding to our questions and who are helping us find the resources that we need. If somebody is flat out telling you no, you at least deserve to know why. And then you need to talk to somebody else.
So if we take the same question, but shift it away from reproductive health, and it was a, like, if it had this been a question about
getting a certain kind of like heart test done or something else that is less
controversial.
Father knows best, yeah. Or whatever you want to say, as far as you may regret this later. But if it's a test that you feel like you need and the doctor is saying, no, they don't think you need it, how would your advice change as far as how to deal with the situation when it isn't as paternal?
Yeah.
Is that the right word that I want to use there? Sure.
But yeah, when you feel that someone is maybe not making these decisions or advising you in your own best interest, but based on their own preferences. So I've definitely had people come to me saying, I'm having bleeding. It's time for my hysterectomy. My mom had a hysterectomy. My sister had a hysterectomy. And I know that I need to have a hysterectomy. And I say, okay, you know, let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about what's going on with your bleeding. Let's do the full workup. Let's make sure we know what the story is here. And then let's talk about all of the options. And sometimes my patients choose a hysterectomy, and that's fine. And sometimes they choose something else. But ultimately, that decision-making capacity needs to be with you. You, me, as a patient, all of us as patients, we don't know everything about the healthcare system. Information is complicated. Tests are not straightforward. If you get a negative test, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're in the clear. Some tests are better than others. So it is really, really important to have that relationship with your doctor to help you decode what's out there, what is the best thing for you, and is this test that you are wanting really what you need, or is there something better out there? If your doctor can't explain that to you in a way that satisfies you, then again, you've got to find a different doctor that helps you find the thing that is going to make you feel fulfilled and well cared for.
And I think this is worth repeating. Don't worry about hurting the doctor's feelings.
Right.
It's not your hairstylist.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. This is about you.
And then we only have 2 minutes left, but I wanted to mention this just as a reminder and see if you had any quick thoughts on it. But how unfair is it that the food you want to eat when you're depressed apparently only makes you more depressed? So there is a new study that says ultra processed foods, while we've known that it's been, linked to issues like strokes and heart attacks and high blood pressure, this is the first significant study that suggests that it also could increase the chances of depression. And so what were some of your takeaways from this study that people should just keep in mind when they're making food choices?
So this is a study that is population-based. They looked at over 30,000 middle-aged white women. Mm-hmm. So if you're a middle-aged white woman, pay attention, who did not have a previous history of depression, or at least not a documented previous history of depression. They based this information on a questionnaire that they had people fill out every 4 years, and then they estimated how much ultra-processed food they ate. So this is not a super scientific data-driven study.
Okay.
So I would say ultimately, and how they diagnosed depression was kind of subjective.
Okay.
So ultimately, I think the important point is ultra-processed foods. We know that there are physical issues. We know there are psychological issues, emotional issues. Maybe just try to focus on limiting your ultra-processed foods. Try to eat healthy.
Have just a little cheese.
Have
whiz.
Your fruit plate.
There you go.
Jane's fruit plate. All right. Dr. Lyerly, I will be texting you, I'm sure, while I'm out, but I will not be seeing you on air. I can't wait to hear you on air with Jane and Greg. We'll see you next week. I won't. They will. But thank you as always. Have fun at Lambeau Field and say hi to Aaron Brockovich for us.
I will. And I want to be your virtual doula. Call me.
Okay, I will. All right. When we come back, Paul Noonan will be here to give us a sports update on the Brewers, Packers, and Badgers football. Stay tuned.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. In mid-morning, the United Auto Workers are expected to announce an expansion of their week-long strike against the big three car makers.
The first round of walkouts didn't do a lot of damage. Biggest harm to car makers would be striking big pickup plants and parts plants.
WWJ's Jeff Gilbert. Two adults have died. Several students are seriously hurt as a charter bus from New York's Long Island goes out of control and down an embankment.
The vehicle was carrying 45 band members along with teachers and was part of a six-bus caravan of 300 people heading to a band camp in Pennsylvania.
Ali Bauman of CBS New York. For Ukraine's war against invading Russia, President Biden tells visiting Ukrainian leader Zelensky,
I approve the next tranche of U.S. security assistance to Ukraine, including more artillery, more ammunition, more anti-tank weapons, and next week, the first U.S. Abrams tanks will be delivered to Ukraine.
Zelensky is now in Canada. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm
if you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinair here. Greg Bach is on the board, and it is Thursday, so we are checking in with Paul Noonan of Acme. And Acme, what's the other one? I didn't write it down. So Acme, we've read for a bunch of things. You have a bunch of podcasts. Oh, you are
right.
There we go.
Oh, not there we go. Acme Packing Company is where I write, and my podcasts are Reporting is Eligible on the Packers and the Milwaukee's Tailgate podcast on the Brewers.
Okay, so let's start with the Brewers, because as Greg mentioned earlier in the show today, we won last night. We're about to play in 45 minutes. So it seems like, I think, because the last time you were here, 2 weeks ago,
it was like a little touch and go because the Cubs were doing well, but it seems like we've pulled ahead.
We have pulled ahead pretty significantly. It is like a sure thing now that we're going to make the playoffs, more or less. Every ranking system out there has us as 99% to make the playoffs. And so I think we can kind of all relax, honestly. The Cubs did us a huge favor. They, Greg is like, don't say that. You're going to jinx us.
You never relax.
The Cubs just kind of went in the tank. They had lost every game they needed to win against the Arizona Diamondbacks, who they had six games against. That's their chief rival for the playoffs. Now they have a lot of chief rivals for the playoffs. They've brought a lot of people back into the fold. They're only a game up on the Reds, and they're in danger. But we are not. We have a seven-game lead with only like 11 or 10 games to play, and it's just very difficult to give that away. We do finish with the Cubs for three games. Should there be like a huge disaster, but it's just not looking very likely at this point. We play the Cardinals one more time today. They're not very good. We do play the Marlins, who are, they're okay. They're in contention with the Cubs for that last playoff spot. And so we can actually kind of unfortunately help the Cubs by doing well in that series. But then we have the Cardinals again, and the Cardinals are done. Like they don't care. They're already into the, they're into the offseason. And it's just not looking too onerous. We've played great. And, we've built this lead and we can all set up our rotation, get ready for actual playoff baseball.
And so what do you think, because I feel like throughout this season, when we've been checking in with you, it's been touch and go. Sometimes you come in here and you sound positive. Sometimes you're a little more negative. What do you attribute to our season?
The uptick lately and in the second half generally is, I think, largely because of the moves they made at the trade deadline and getting Mark Canha in particular, who has been their leadoff hitter and honestly their best hitter for the second half of the season or for the post trade deadline part. They got him from the Mets, might end up being kind of a trade for David Stearns in the grand scheme of things, but he's just a good player who gets on base, and they didn't have that. And Carlos Santana has been good, but not great, but a huge defensive upgrade at first base. And then adding Sal Frelick. Their big problem for most of the season was they didn't have enough bats in the lineup. They had like three good hitters. And if you got through those three good hitters, you could just kind of mow everybody else down. And they fixed that. Now they actually have it's not a great lineup, but it's a formidable lineup that's not easy to get through. And given how good their pitching is, that is plenty good enough to make them into a very formidable team going into the playoffs. It also helps they've gotten good Freddy Peralta. Freddy Peralta is a very up and down pitcher. He is as talented as Woodruff and Burns are. And he is currently third in the National League in strikeouts. It's been a huge season for him. And having that third dominant pitcher actually show up, especially with Burns down a little bit, has made a world of difference as well. So they're peaking at just the right time. They look great. I think there's a lot of reasons to be very optimistic about their prospects.
Greg knows way more about the Brewers than I do. Do you have any follow-up questions or comments, Greg?
I mean, first of all, you never stop worrying, Paul. Never stop worrying. But
baseball's funny.
Yeah. Baseball's funny like that. And but I guess I think I asked you this last time, but and that was with sort of a, ooh, I don't know where we're at, but it feels really good right now, especially with how we're performing and these big victories. But what do we need to clean up and shine up to take on Atlanta or Los Angeles? I mean, I see those teams and I'm like, oh, okay. And I don't want to be like, oh, we're just going to get beaten. I want to believe that we can do something.
I mean, those guys are juggernauts.
Yeah.
And, they're going to be favored in any series against the Brewers. The Dodgers, less so. They've actually had a little bit of a problematic season keeping guys healthy and are not the juggernauts they normally are. The Braves are. They're like a plus 250 run team. They're excellent. They beat the stuffings out of us earlier in our last series with them. The key for the Brewers in the playoffs is to play as well as they can against the lesser teams in the first round to get their pitching set up for those guys. Because if you do get good Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta starts in the playoffs, you can hang with them because those guys can shut down any lineup. You're going to need, I think, to luck into a few runs. The Brewers lineup is going to have problems even against kind of good average pitching in the playoffs. And so you need those dominant guys to be there for you. You can't get yourself into a situation where you need to throw like Adrian Hauser or Colin Ray out there randomly to get guys right against the Dodgers. That's not going to work. But things should set up pretty favorably for them. And as long as they can keep those three as sort of the majority pitching matchups for their playoff matchups, they can actually hang with the best teams.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. We're talking to Paul Noonan, who covers the Packers for Shepherd Express and Acme Packing Company, and also hosts the podcast Reporting as Eligible, which is on the Packers, and Milwaukee's Tailgate podcast on the Brewers. We're going to switch to the Packers, and I want to talk about, you talked about some growing pains of our last game, where it looked like we kind of had it in the bag, and then the fourth quarter came, and we're like, oh, we do not have this in the bag. But I want to point this out, because I saw this on Twitter, X, whatever, yesterday, and I want to get your reaction to how much we should be excited about this stat. So this is from Wes Hodkowitz. You know,
this person, little Wes Hod. We just call him Wes Hod.
Wes Hod. So you probably have already seen this one. Jordan Love is a new starting quarterback with room to grow, but this stat from the NFL is kind of bonkers. He's the fourth QB in the last 10 years to have three or more pass touchdowns and zero interceptions in each of the first two games of the season. The others, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning.
Yep.
Pretty good company. Just going to say, good company.
It is. It's good company. I think there's still a lot of reasons to be optimistic even after that game. And Atlanta is a very strange NFL team. They are very old school. They run the ball on about 65% of their snaps, which nobody in the modern NFL does. And the Packers just have this philosophy where they don't build themselves to stop the run. I wouldn't put too much of the blame on the offense. They did have some growing pain issues, don't get me wrong. In the first quarter, they had to punt because they took a delay of game penalty when they were going to kick a field goal. Mm-hmm. That's just a mental mistake. Jordan Love got the snap count wrong on a quarterback sneak in the fourth quarter. That's going to be memed until the day he retires. That's also a mental mistake. But by and large, the offense played pretty well, especially given they didn't have Aaron Jones or Christian Watson.
Yeah.
And that's not why they lost the game. They lost the game because Atlanta figured out they could bully the Packer defensive line. They have two excellent running backs as well. And it's just not a good matchup for Green Bay, frankly. I'm not surprised they lost. And the fact that they hung as well as they did, it makes me actually pretty optimistic. Jordan played well. There's no reason to think anything other than that. He actually, again, his accuracy stats don't look great. But he also dropped a few dimes to Dontavian Wicks, especially, where the Atlanta's best corner, AJ Terrell, just was right on him, had great coverage and made great plays on the ball. But he should have had at least three or four more completions, including two pass interference calls on Atlanta that added 87 yards that don't show up in his stat line.
Yeah.
So I think this is still a reason to be hugely optimistic. The Saints are a much better matchup for the Packers. This is not Atlanta. This is the opposite. They can't run at all, and they're only passing the ball with mediocre players. So this should go a lot better. I'm much more optimistic they'll show up this week.
And we'll
and
be
it's
home.
Good to be past Atlanta. Yeah.
And we'll be home. I mean, the first two games, we've been in loud stadiums, not home with a young team. So that's, I think, Packer fans are excited to celebrate this new team in Lambeau style.
Paul, my husband thinks that Matt LaFleur's play calling has become really predictable, and he always does the same thing in the fourth quarter, and that everybody knows the opposition always knows what's coming.
So I think that that's sort of half right. And so the one thing is, he's a really creative play caller. And for the rest of the game, for the first three quarters of any given game, he's actually really unpredictable. And they run a lot of setup plays to set up those deep balls. But in the fourth quarter, your husband is absolutely correct, especially when they have a lead. They get far too conservative and lean on the run far too much. And that actually works a lot of the time when Aaron Jones is there. But A.J. Dillon is a colossal step down from Aaron Jones, and you can't do that. He's not going to generate first downs, especially against a defense as good as Atlanta. And when they have lost games like this in the past, this is what happens. They go old school NFL conservative. They try to run the clock out when there's still 12 minutes to go, and that's frankly impossible. You run the clock out by getting first downs, by grinding out drives and scoring points. And yeah, he does get too conservative. He does not want to expose his team to interceptions, and it's too much running, too much just giving the other team a chance to hang around.
Well, despite the consequences this is going to have on my marriage, I will have to go home and tell my husband he was absolutely right.
Tell him he was half right.
I'll tell him he was half right. That's better.
All right. Well, then the last, I want to touch on Badger football. We're 2-1. We're playing Purdue this weekend. First conference, conference is the Big Ten, as we kind of have known it until next year. We're playing Purdue. Any thoughts as far as what you've seen so far going into actual conference games?
The Badgers are a weird team, and honestly, it's hard to tell what to make of them. A lot of their underlying numbers are actually pretty good. Like, when they run the ball, they're pretty effective at it. It's just they seem really incoherent so far, and maybe that is just growing pains and new personnel and new offensive system and new coaching staff. But they'll like come out for one drive and they'll run it down the opposing team's throats, and then they'll come out and they'll throw all these bizarre short passes that they're not really equipped to do properly. And so it's I don't like watching them so far. They've been really disjointed football wise, but I do think they're actually kind of good. I'm worried about their defense because they have given up too many points to frankly non-competitive opponents, and that makes me a little more worried than anything. But I do think they'll score once they actually kind of settle on an offensive philosophy, and I think they'll be okay against Purdue, who's, you know, certainly not a not a bad team, but not a juggernaut at all. This will be a good test though. Like, if they get blown out in this game, I think everybody can start to worry officially about them. But I'm cautiously optimistic they're going to look okay.
Is it, as a layman's person, as I would say claim myself to be, Tanner Mordecai seems like he's a really good arm. I mean, it seems is that just a bad take?
It's not a bad take. I think he has an okay arm. He's like a middling college arm strength quarterback. He's okay. I wish he had a little more polish on his deep ball. And he has this weird, this is way too in the weeds, but he has this weird tick on his short passes where when he releases the ball, the nose is facing down. And it's a common college quarterback and sometimes NFL quarterback problem that you're not gripping the ball properly. It's a detail thing, and it makes your passes tend to sail low and your receivers have to bend over and pick them up. He does it a lot.
It's
a footwork problem. It's a mechanics problem.
Wow.
When he can like set his feet and throw down the field a little bit more, he's a little bit better. But they've asked him to throw a lot of quick kind of touch passes like that. And he gets himself in a mess on him a lot. So he's been okay. There's room for improvement there. But I think his arm's like pretty medium.
Well, now I shouldn't have asked that question. I should have asked. Well, it's fine. I asked that question because I wanted to talk about, at least have enough time for, and we only have 2 minutes left. Give us your quick takes on Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, because this story of Colorado and what he's doing with the Boulder, Colorado team and the hype around it, his coaching style, the sound clips that are coming out is fascinating to me.
I agree with that. It's unprecedented in certainly college football. Yeah. I would say it's a little bit like Kentucky in college basketball and John Calipari, where the whole selling point is like, come here, we will put you on your best footing to get you to the next level or to be a celebrity right now. And Deion Sanders is like perfect for it. He knows his football inside and out. He's a huge personality and always has been a huge personality. And he has both family and friends to recruit from. Like, he has two kids on the team, one of which is the quarterback, who has been absolutely outstanding so far. And it is just a weird thing to walk into a college setting, you know, not professionals, and basically tell everybody who's coming back. And Colorado was awful last year. They were 1-11, one of the worst teams in college football. Like, hey, you could stick around if you want, but I'm bringing in all new players, and so none of you are going to play, which is essentially what he did.
Scorched earth.
Scorched earth, rebuilt it from scratch. Nobody thought it would work. It has worked fabulously so far. He has allowed a lot of leeway towards his players, and it's an example that people are going to follow going forward.
Absolutely, and it's fun to watch. All right, Paul Noonan, you'll be back with the rest of the team. I will not be here, but check out Milwaukee's Tailgate Podcast. Reporting is eligible. Always fun to talk to you, Paul. Have a great day. Go enjoy the Brewers.
Good luck.
Thank you. All right, we're going to play Three Headlines on a Lie with Greg and Jane when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been
wasn't this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I'm a serial strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun today with highs around 78. East winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 60 tonight. Partly cloudy skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 76. Dry and cooler Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 60s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
To As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. We're almost done with Thursday's show.
And then just one more to go, Mama.
One more to go. And so a reminder that tomorrow we'll do our Friday first hour as normal. We'll go through whatever the top story that we want to talk about is at the top of the hour. We'll get Jane, since Jane will be our Civic Media crossover host tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Since she will now be a host as of Monday.
That's right.
So we'll get your best, worst, and weirdest, and then we'll have the headline quiz between you two. And then Michael Sampson will be here, my husband, and we're going to do some fun games, some fun baby games. I'll ask him. I'll put him on the spot as far as what he is most excited about, what he is most nervous about, how helpful he thinks he's going to be in the delivery room. My guess is not very.
Well, there's not really much for them to do in the delivery room, right?
Yeah. He's not Dr. Michael Sampson.
He's not Dr. Michael Sampson. And he was, to the one labor class that we took, he was late and he missed all the labor part.
Oh, well, then he's well prepped. Yeah, he's well prepped for this.
And so, but then we'll also be taking your calls and your suggestions and your advice for first-time parents. And so that'll be 11 o'clock tomorrow.
Will it be possible for me, with his procedure that he just had, for me to hug him?
Yes.
Okay.
Gingerly.
Yes, of course.
Don't pick him up.
I would never do that.
Don't pick him up.
Yeah.
Don't pick him up and twirl him around.
Don't throw him into the next room.
But no, he's doing better. He still wears his back brace proudly. Okay. We went out to dinner last night and he wore his, because he's saying it helps his back.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. It's just, he just prefers to always wear sandals. So he wore like a suit jacket on top with flip flops on the bottom, which is classic Michael Sampson. But no, he's doing pretty well. And so we're 5 weeks. Tomorrow will be 5 weeks since he had the surgery. So
this is back surgery. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's still in recovery mode.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I ask.
Is it still no BLTs?
Pretty much.
No bending, lifting, twisting.
Either that or he's just lying to me that I'm still the one who has to take out the garbage despite being 38 weeks pregnant.
He shouldn't even have BLTs. That are a terrible sandwich.
Oh, I love BLTs. That's
so
like the
do
one,
I.
That's the one deli sandwich I could have because I can't have deli meat.
That's not even a deli sandwich then. It doesn't have deli meat.
Greg.
But you can get it at a deli.
It's fine. It's not a sandwich.
Don't yuck my yum, dude.
I will. Listen. I will yuck the yums when it comes to sandwiches.
We've already established on this show today that Greg is happy to judge people's yums.
Bring me your yums, for I am the yum judge.
All right. Well, at least to wrap up today's show, since we usually do this in the first hour, but we've been doing the Autoglass Now giveaway. And I don't know. Do you both want to play? Do you want to collab and put your brain meld? Mind meld?
I'd like to collab, if you don't mind, Jen.
All right, that's fine with me.
Yeah,
sure.
All right, so let's end on three headlines and a lie.
Okay.
This is the game that we play where we have four headlines, three are real, one is not, and now today Jane and Greg have to guess which one is not real.
Okay.
Number one, drugged up fan covered with excrement fell naked into new Bills stadium site.
Ew.
Seems entirely plausible to me.
Buffalo, please.
All right, number two. Vivek Ramaswamy joined TikTok and was immediately met by witches hexing him.
I want that to be true. Okay.
Number three. Quilt Talk has a new enemy, an anthropology in Texas.
Oh.
Quilt Talk.
Quilt Talk. So there's different sides of TikTok. So there's like ADHD TikTok or talk. Like it's like because of the algorithm, it's
okay.
kind of like yeah. shorthand for what side of TikTok are you on?
Okay.
Meaning what kind of content gets offered up to you. So Quilt Talk, I imagine, is people who are quilting.
Sure.
And they're potentially, if this headline is true, are angry about an anthropology in Texas.
Oh.
Number four, bears raid a Krispy Kreme donut van making deliveries on Alaska military base.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
Yeah, that feels true as well.
Yep.
All right, should I run through them again?
Please.
Number one, drugged up fan covered in with excrement fell naked into the new Bills stadium site. Number two, Vivek Ramaswamy joined TikTok and was immediately met by witches hexing him. Number three, Quilt Talk has a new enemy, an anthropology in Texas. Number four, bears raid a Krispy Kreme donut van making deliveries on an Alaska military base.
On first,
mind meld.
Okay, mind meld, Jane.
Yes.
On first thought, based on all four of them, I feel like number one is the false one just because the TikTok thing seems true. The bear thing, I want to be true, basically. But your thoughts?
Boy, I was going to go with Vivek being hexed by witches.
Is true or not true?
Is the lie.
Yeah.
Because I can see all the other ones being true.
Hmm.
And yet I can also see him getting hexed on TikTok by witches, which is why this game is so difficult.
And so fun.
We can, Greg, I'll go with you.
Okay, all right. Well,
I will go with you.
Carrying the load on my shoulders here. All right, we're going to go number one is the lie.
Oh, that is real.
Darn it! I'm so sorry, Jay. I failed you.
That is really real. A Buffalo Bills fan excitement went off the rails leading up to the team's home opener against Las Vegas Raiders last Sunday.
As all good fans do.
Yeah.
Covered in excrement. We don't have enough time to read enough of the article to know how he got covered in excrement, but we will put it in today's show notes.
You should see the other guy.
All right, guess number two.
Then I am going with the quilters.
That one is the lie.
That's the lie.
That is the lie. There's there is no. I don't know if there might be Quilt Talk. That might be a real thing.
That could be a thing.
But
that
there is not an anthropology in Texas that they're very angry about.
So Vivek did get hexed by witches.
Vivek did get hexed by. He posted his first TikTok on September 14th. His comments were immediately flooded with ridicule. Witch talk.
Witch talk.
Also hexed him with potions made with ingredients supposed to cause pain and discomfort.
What a world we live in.
And that means also bears did raid a Krispy Kreme donut.
Oh, yeah, of course they did.
For sure.
And so bears just getting into trouble. That's why there's so many children's books about bears, I think.
Next, the sequel to Cocaine Bear is going to be Krispy Kreme Bear.
There you go. Someone start writing it. There's a lot of time right now because there's no movies being made. All right, well, that's our show for today. Thank you, Paul Noonan. Thank you, Kristen Lyerly. Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Greg. Thank you to everyone who called in. Thank you to Autoglass Now for the giveaway,
yes.
which we have two more weeks of. And tomorrow is my last show for a while.
You better make it.
So you better make it.
You better make it, Eric.
We're going to have a lot of fun, and we would love to hear from you. I would love to hear from you. I'm going to miss all of you a lot while I'm out, but I'll check in once I
absolutely
to recover from some of my sleep deprivation. I will certainly call into the show. You'll hear from me. But that does it for today. Come back tomorrow, 10 a.m. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. So I'll settle for. Yeah.
Hey.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media